overseas today. Al kapanim. So we're holding here, I think, ukvar bi'arnu ki efshar yodam pulashem sechso nafshoi asha yesha nefesh aloikis. V'mikei nishara ha-sheila eizem ha-pulsim chodeshlei am sechso malosan shes nesichli. So he says, everything in the, every pu'ula in the world, everything created in the world, it's obvious that its abilities were created in line with its purpose, or what's called teleological, meaning, you know, looking at things with a tachlis. So what is the framework of activities that fits a person's nefesh shichli? So the type of activities that we would term as being sichliistic, religious, moral, anything that's really not associated with Balei Chayim and normal life forms, and doesn't seem to be an activity that is has any purpose in that framework, that would be Adam would be miyuchad to that, and that would be Torah and so on. Him tishol v'toymim kain har kol apulos yichol sechavach mina nivroim apulos mischayes mina me'atzmoi ve'ne mishalom apulosim. Okay, so if you're telling me that Torah and mitzvahs is what's meant to be part of the person's this is the purpose of the chelik aloikai. So why isn't it natural to him? Children eat and drink and climb and do everything naturally. So why is that an instinct in us? Whatever is bad is brought about by the Yitzhahara. So let's discuss this point. I think it's an important point to discuss in its own right. First of all, if you ask a person, so a person has Yitzhahara, Lamashal, a person is sort of cheating in business dealings. So we take a look and we say it is not natural to be honest. Okay, let's sit down with this person and let's talk about something that has no shaykhus to him. Somebody else in a very different framework is being dishonest. Almost every person will express outrage and say this is a terrible thing to do. This person is a psychopath. A normal person will say it's terrible. If you speak to a person and ask him, what about being loyal to your wife? You know, here I'm going to talk to you about Pliny Almoini, who has been married 25 years. His wife has been there for him every step of the way, and so on. And now he's basically running around with other women. Most everybody would express outrage, except when he's chasing somebody. So all of a sudden, things change. All of a sudden, it's not natural to him. So the expression. So it's not right to say it's not natural for us to restrain ourselves. It's not natural for us to be honest. It certainly is natural for us, but we also have a counter instinct. And therefore, if I were to do something that's totally unnatural, so paraduma, we don't have a natural instinct for paraduma, even take the Yitzhar away, and that's why it's a choik. But many other mitzvahs, we certainly have a natural instinct for it. And even the things that are chok, once we've done them, we certainly have a taste for it. We may have a taste for it. So it's not the pshat that it's something that doesn't fit our nature. It fits our nature, but there's a conflict with another desire. So that's one point in which he's describing the relationship of the fact that it's natural to the fact that we don't do it unless we're prompted. So Yetzirah means the force of opposition, however you want to understand it. It's the force of opposition, but it's not telling me it's not natural.
V'am, I said, Azina Shemayim v'chulik, which is what I'm talking about, like, Diyash Ein V'Yaseh D'Aklau.
So this is another point. When you give a person tochacha, so one of the things that people rebel against, and certainly I guess teenagers, you want me to be somebody that I'm not. You see that I don't get up for davening naturally. It's hard to get up in the morning. I'm not a type of person who gets up in the morning. I'm not a type of person who learns. I'm not a type of person who does this, that, whatever it is. People feel very strongly, even if they'll grant you the fact that maybe it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to do it, and b'chulu, but there will be a lot of resistance in due to the fact that this is not natural to me. And it's almost, you can't ask me to be something I'm not. But Hazino Shai Varetz, and when Moshe Rabbeinu came and said the Teichacha to them, listen, Shemayim and Aretz have not changed their nature. What he's saying is, this is your nature, except that you have perverted your nature. In other words, if I tell somebody to stop acting, I tell a teenager stop acting like an idiot and start acting like an adult, I don't want him to play a game to act like an adult. And it is wrong for me to demand of a child something that he's not holding by yet. Usually the problem is like in the first piece that he said, in the first Nakuda, the adult is there, but the child hasn't retired yet. So I'm an adult, but I still hang out to some childish activities. That's the same attitude towards religious things. All of Torah fits me, and it's me. And it's something that clicks in because there's a place in my neshama for it, and it'll be natural to me. It is natural to me. If what I'm doing is I'm grabbing onto some temporary hana or difficulty as an excuse not to do it. So be'etzim, what we're doing is we're pressing people to keep what's right. Omnom. So that's point one about humanity. Omnom. It can't be that all of humankind is exactly equal in this prat. Even though biologically we're all similar, in the affinity for ruchnius we are different. And he brings a raya. So let's talk about this point. This is a point that the Kuzari speaks a lot about. The Kuzari really puts the emphasis of Klal Yisrael on this point. The Kuzari is a sefer that sort of emphasizes the Yichud of Klal Yisrael. He builds his emun around Klal Yisrael. That's a very interesting nekuda about the Kuzari. And the Kuzari says, you know, he's asked about all of the religious, the magnificence of the other religions, and basically he says, as magnificent as the temples are, they're empty, they're dead. No nevuah has been there, no Ruach HaKodesh, no Ashras HaShchina. All these things are not there. So we tend to think of it just as a whim of God. The whim of God is, you know, he snubs some people and embraces other people. Why? Kacha. Which is always not a very good way to describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But what it really means is it's the other way around. We have a capability for nevuah. Nevuah is not... It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu shipping us in a nevuah, unless we can be makabel nevuah. It's like it's like you have a radio. Broadcasting in the whole world is not enough unless you have a radio that can tune in and pick up. Nevuah is shipped out, but unless there's a kli kibul for nevuah, unless there's a neshama that can be tofes nevuah, it's not going to happen. So nevuah ruach hakodesh neshchina wa miyuchad in klal Yisrael, because we have this extra depth of neshama that's shayach to it. Why Kodesh Baruch Hu has neshama? Yes, that's something that's in a sense beyond. Again, we can talk about it, talk about Avraham Avinu giving us that ability, but be it as it may, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to be, just kind of random chooses. They're not shaykh to it, we are shaykh to it. And that says, Ve'in safika nevuah achanam efshad, nevuah is a certain achanam efshadim. Like the Rambam says, the Rambam speaks in Yisraeli Torah about Nevuah, and he makes this point clear. Nevuah is something that requires a kli kibul for Nevuah. This is, repeating the Rambam in Igeres Hashmad, or Igeres Haman, where where they asked him about this Navi that arose of all the problems, besides having to deal with the Yemenites, which was always not a good thing. They also had to deal with some Mashiach Sheker, and the Rama gets very upset about them even thinking that there's anything to it. But his point is, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Nevuah to somebody who is a misfit? Nevuah requires a kli kibul to get to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose a nutcase to communicate with, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a kli kibul for it. Ve'af gam zeh muchach loimah v'zeh ke'olam hazeh shumin b'nei adam hu olam hateva u'lefikach hadova shu tivi roi she'imotzi b'chol amin b'shoveh v'asher olam hazeh tivi klod. Anything that is part of nature should be the same. You can transplant a physical heart from a yid to a goy and a goy to a yid, and it works perfectly well. Anything that any part of ourselves that is shayach to the world of the natural world is the same. And ve'im yimotzi shinevem nishinam ekoymas. So the changes are because of the climate and other things like that. V'davaz in an extra shin klal. It's obviously not a big difference. Avla loykis leimotzi b'shavu cholamin. The tchuna loikis is not the same for every kind. Shem hoye nimtzal min b'shava oylam azar oylam nivdal me'achik v'chalutz nimtzal loikis. Aval oylam azar oylam ateva ve'en oylam nivdal. V'davze mechayev she nimtzal loikis cholim b'shava ki mechalik men. I want to talk about this point. This is an incredible piece of reasoning from the Maral. Let's talk about this. Olam HaTeva means the world that is locked into our circle. That is called Olam HaTeva. The circle of experience and reality that I am part of as a physical being, that's called Olam HaTeva. Anything that correlates to a group is understood as being part of the teva. So for instance, if all dogs wag their tails, then wagging a tail is part of a physical gene somewhere. If let's say there is a particular dog that can stand on its hind legs and walk around, that's how it's born. So because there's only one or two or a few like that, I say this is some unnatural phenomena. There's no gene for a dog with a tiny leg. It may be that a gene got damaged. It may be that he got an extra gene. Whatever it is, it's not part of Teva. Any phenomena that's repeated across the klal is understood to be Teva. Anything that's unusual is understood to be not part of that reality. So those properties that dogs exhibit as dogs, that's called part of Olam HaTeva. Anything that is different and it's sui genre, it's only this type itself, that is not part of this nature. So, and this is one of the reasons why, this is what the Ramban means about Neis Nista that everybody quotes all the time. What it means is that saying a Mishaberach is not the equivalent of an aspirin. An aspirin works because it's part of Olam HaTeva. The way in which I distinguish things Olam HaTeva is because it's a repeatable experiment. That's the basis for science. Anything that can be repeated in any laboratory, in any member of the group that you've identified, is called Teva. So if every time you made a Shabeach somebody got better, then automatically it would be it would be part of Teva. The thing was, Rabbi Akiva Tatz in his Hesper and Moshe Shapiro. Rabbi Moshe Shapiro was cynical about many of these things, and Akiva Tatz, a doctor, told him that there was this woman that was a Machshel Aledes, she was having a hard time giving birth. So there's a skula, Yerushalmi skula, one of many thousands Yerushalmi skulas, that the woman should drink mother's milk. So they brought her mother's milk, and Akiva Tatz told Rabbi Moshe Shapiro, he sort of kind of apologized as a doctor. He said, you know, it makes a lot of medical sense because there's a lot of hormones in the milk, and that probably prompts the birth process. So Moshe Shapiro, in his dry, cynical way, said, "Imishum hormonim, as kadur achad ktantan ish la yoter hormonim mikol achalav shela." And if it's also school, he said, a rabbit's foot is a much better schooler. It's by definition something that works always automatically is part of Teva. And that's it. So you can't have, so the Maral says, it's not possible that if anybody who has human genes also has an affinity for Ruchnius, the way we have it, that means that that's part of the human genome. We may not know which gene it is, may not know which combination of genes, but that's what it is. So that would become a physical reality. So just like psychologists try to reduce religious behavior to common animal behavior, you're scared of this, you look for a protector, you want this, you want that, but that's making it part of the world of Teva, right or wrong, and that's mafkia, what it is about. So therefore, he says this world, the word nivdol, and when people speak about supernatural, it's above Teva, beyond Teva, what it simply means is it is not part of our reality, which means it doesn't coincide with physical things. So all these Torah, when we think about something, the number 8 is lamalam and atev, and so people say, think of a nace. The basic definition is much more fundamental. It does not fit into any of the tools we have. So if I have, let's say, a toolkit, and all toolkits have screwdrivers go from size A to B, or whatever it is. Let's say I take an American tool set and I bring it out to Israel. It's not going to work. And the reason is because Israeli things are centimeters and millimeters, American things are inches, and it has no shaykhs, they just don't correlate. So the me'ala teva, lamalam teva, all these things, the olam hanivdol is not what it is, it's what it's not. It is not part of teva. And therefore, when you expect an unnatural correlation of mitzvahs ma'isim tovim to physical well-being, you're risking turning that into teva. And that's what the Ramban implies, that we need to understand that correlation as nes nister. And the correlation is not going to be exact. It's not that when you say vaneinu, that's when rain comes. But somehow, you did what's right, and in some other way, something good came about. Goyim are part of the physical world as we are. Which is Asar Sphiris. In other words, the Umas Olam are the full complement of the natural human person. But Uma Yechidis Hoysa Ala Teva Kneged Shmini, there's one Uma that's Ala Teva, meaning there's a part of our self that goes beyond that. Ki Ashmini Ala Teva. Well, Kachroy Disrael Teva Shi Ala Teva. So Teva is something that deals with goals, values, accomplishments that are not part of the physical world. They don't bring you more food. They don't make the shelter stronger. They don't make you. They don't make your nation stronger, dafka, and so on. They may have good results, and we'll talk about that another time. But I'll call upon him in terms of what it is. We relate to a world of toiv and ra. There's no shaykhis to the world around us. So what's special about Kedusha? Not in this world. It's because we tap into a reality that's the world beyond us. V'atayr nivris kodeshiv o'ilam ativi. V'yisrol nivru gam ki kodeshiv o'ilam ativi. L'kach kol in atayr shibishmini ke'avatev v'tachs mitzvah sheva u'mashal atev u'shmini v'chbar pek achzeh. So basically, our mitzias is of a higher mitzias. This world, the physical world, is one small area wherein this demonstrates itself. Let me give a mashal to this point, because this point about Torah being created before the world and so on. Let's take let's take an example as follows. I have a school, a girls' school, and girls' schools have to put on a production. Very important, probably most important thing they do all year. And we need to have a story, a production. So someone comes up and says, hey, how about the story of Yosef HaTzadik with the brothers? That's a fantastic story, and we'll have Paro uniforms, this and that, fantastic. So what came first was the production, and therefore I pick a story that will bring out the best in production. Beautiful uniforms, a wonderful story, nice music, v'chulu v'chulu. One. Two, I'm a Rebbe in a cheder, and I'm teaching the parasha of Yosef HaTzadik. And I feel that the kids don't get it enough. So what do? I try to talk, explain, and then I say, you know what? We're going to present it as a play, as a show. And you're all going to see what it's like when it's acted out. So we have two items that seem the same. A play, a show about Yosef HaTzadik, and a story in Chumash, but the relationship is menakotza lakotza. One of them, the relationship starts with the play, and Yosef HaTzadik is a play that's a good play to put on. One of them starts Yosef HaTzadik, and the play's a way to bring it out. When we say that Torah was created before the world, it means the values and the ideals of Torah are first. HaKadosh Baruch Hu found a vehicle to convey it to us through this world. By living in a world of Cheshech and Hesta and looking for Oyer as being beyond and better, however we'll explain it, that's a relationship. As opposed to a worldview, this is the world, and let's see how Torah is the best possible way to live. Avshalom Shaphal Hirsch was marvelous in explaining how Torah is the best possible way to live life. It was absolutely the way to go with his generation. But in a certain sense, that's where the Mekubalim, had a better, more correct version of it, that Torah is its own value, and this world demonstrates it. So when we see mitzvahs play out in this world in a positive way, when Kedush al Pi Torah makes for a very stable and happy family life, if Hilchas Nida produces a wonderfully stable and happy marriage, then fine, that's a way to bring out Hilchas Nida. But it's not we started with men and women and then we put in Hilchas Nida as a way to do it. Now, each occasion calls for a different tool. For a person who is living this world, to talk about tikkunim and supernatural worlds is you're going to reach the lunatic fringe. The normal person needs to start with an understanding of what brings a better world, a good world, but at least understand what this means. So Nivdal means, first and foremost, a world outside our realm of understanding and experience. Lachain, the Umi Yisraelis, Asher Boch Hashem Yisrael Lechelkoi, Heim Nisiachtu Befulos Eloikis, Shemitzis HaTorah, V'yadregis Shav Shaloikis. So what makes us special is this affinity for mitzvahs. V'meshu Muchon Levuach HaKodesh Hashem Yineihem. We had a Kli Kibul, we had an ability, we have an ability to have all of these outer world phenomena be part of our lives. So I want to reformulate something. If people ask what makes the Jews a special people, we speak about ourselves being a chosen people, out of Chatana and so on. So one silly answer is we're smarter than everybody else, which regardless of whether or not that's true, but so what? You know, there are nations that play basketball better than us, And for many people, that's a much cheshev than being smarter. Spend a lot more time in baseball court than they do in studying. So maybe that would be the amanifcha. You know, if, in Ivrit it's called nifcheret. So maybe that's the nifcheret is amanifcha. I don't know. To say we're bigger tzaddikim than the goyim, we've had our share of wonderful rishayim, and the goyim have had chasidim zolom. The answer is the potential that we have for ruchnius is by far greater than umas olam. And he speaks about gerim towards the end of the parak. But understand, the piece we're identifying is the potential we have. Someone asked it to the Lubavitch Rebbe. It's worth, a lot of his letters are amazing in how he's able to answer points. Someone asked him, who is better, a Goya Tzaddik or a Jew of Russia? And the Rebbe answered, it depends if you're asking mitzad realization or mitzad potential. That was his answer, which is exactly this point. Tzaddik in Russia at the end of it is definitely determined by realizing potential, but we have the ability to bring out Taryag Mitzvahs, which is a kli kibul for Nevuah, Ruach HaKodesh, and all sorts of other world experiences, other world living. Umas Olam at best can live a very righteous life, unless they become Geirim, which means they have that affinity like Klai. So that's what he speaks at the end. But Akapanim Mitzad Et Atzmi is a Klai Yisrael. If yourself, what's Mirah Klai Yisrael? What's Mirah Klai Yisrael is the ability to have a much fuller ruchniistic experience. And that's why of all the things, Torah is especially off limits, because Torah means understanding it, grasping it, and since Goyim are shaykh only to Zayin Mitzvahs, we're shaykh to all of them, they're not shaykh to Torah B'chol Yusa, and so on. Those are all in Yanim, anything that's beyond. Shabbos is a Me'ein Olam Haba. It deals with a reality beyond our world, and therefore, almost are not shaykh to it. They are shaykh to Zayin Mitzvahs, because by the term Zayin Mitzvahs means these are the mitzvahs that make civilization, life, and so on and so forth, human, and so on. Okay, so we'll hold it here. I will be gone the next 2 weeks. Next 2 Sundays I'll be in Eretz Yisrael, actually. As I told you, Mike Hassan Bez Hashem with a grandchild, our first grandchild. And the third Sunday, I'm not sure yet. I'll be back here in America already. I'm not sure. I'll let you know. I'm sure Yaakov will let you know when it's Nagia. Any questions, any points, anything you want to, whatever? Yes, you're sure.
Interesting, the Gemara that talks about when a certain Amira would need a rain just for this particular Aruga, he asked for it and the rain came just for that Aruga. It sounds like that in the ideal situation, we ask for this and it comes with you the way it's supposed to come, tit for tat.
So first of all, this didn't happen all the time. It's not the mahalach of Tainis, the mahalach. There are people a handful of people singled out by Chazal that have transcended this world entirely. Reb Chanina ben Doisa, loy ha'arad meimis, ela chet meimis, la nochash meimis, ela chet meimis, misham l'shem yadik. Those are an haggis that, on the one hand, for instance, you have the Gemara where Bni Hitrachtas Baracha Teloitze Peres Lifnei Zmanoi, you shall die Lifnei Zmanoi. There are Hanhagis, this type of Hanhaga, for anyone who's still living with a foot in both worlds, it's Aser. There were the handful of people that were beyond that, and therefore Tit for Tat was Shayach in that case. But that's not the normal relationship of, they were Kol Kula in the Olam HaMuvdal. There's a chinuch. I like saying Rav in Yeshiva in Sedei Torah. Sedei Torah, bring it. He speaks about why it is that a kohen is, even though he's not a Min Tam himself, he's allowed to mourn. Close relatives, and he says because human emotion and love and pain and sorrow are part of a person's nefesh, and therefore the Torah doesn't cut it out. This is part of what's natural human. So he asks, what about a Kohen Gadol? So he said, a Kohen Gadol really is over there. He's Betzim in Olam Haba already. He has some minimal shaykhs to hear, but he's in the Olam Shekula Tov, and he's not shaykh to this world. So that's on Hog. It's like when you tell people about the Vilna Gaon that when his sister came to visit him, he told, you know, it's Chaval on here. In Olam Haba, we'll spend plenty of time together. Anybody that would try to pull that off would deserve to get smacked twice. And yet by Vilna Gaon, sorry, because Vilna Gaon wasn't part of this world. So those on Hoggis are the incredible, unusual Hoggis of somebody that's shaykh to a different Metzias. Totally. For us, we're shaykh to this Metzias, but we have access to, we have ability to deher something beyond. Moshe Rabbeinu, like the Rambam says, Moshe Rabbeinu, the most powerful words of Rambam, that he was nidbak letzur elamim and never came back to this world again. And that's why he left his wife. Anybody else that would do that is doing a davar asa. Ben Azai, which is a similar dagger, but the way the Ram writes that it was nidvak letzur elamim and so on. It's the unusual person who's kulay there with some minimal presence here. Okay, good.
The main difference between Olam HaNivdal and Olam HaTeva.
Yes.
The Olam HaNivdal doesn't always happen, or because it's Olam, because it's not part of
Teva, the first difference is, that's the point I'm making. Olam HaNivdal is more defined by what it's not than what it is. Olam HaNivdal means a reality that is not part of our reality. Nivdal means it is not of the same kind. It is of different kind. So that's its first definition. This phenomena does not fit into our circle of reality. How much Shaykh a Yid has a zika to that world, and b'meila it's Shaykh for him to relate to it, but it's something that is not naturally, it is not part of our natural reality. It's just like Lahavdil. One of the ideas physicists play with are multiple universes, parallel universes, places that have very different basic realities than we have. It's a game. It's a mind game. There's nothing. I mean, by definition, you can't prove it. And they're talking about physical phenomena. Is there a world where the speed of light is different? Is there a world where gravity repels instead of attracts? Is there a world of this, that, or the other thing? I mean, you can sit back and say whatever you want to say, but I'll call upon him. The main point is, Olam HaNivdal, the first thing I can say about the Olam HaRuchnis is, it does not relate to any of our natural sense of reality.
It turns out the real answer is not the Yetzer Hara, it's really just the fact that Torah is not part of our world. It's not part of our
natural world. Well, it's not only is it not part of our world, but it runs, so the muscle, our natural physical reality is taiva. Kedusha is a value of its own, so somebody who has no shaykhistit has no shaykhistit. Even we have shaykhistit, it runs counter, so a lot of the Yetzirah is counter to our physical sense of pleasantness. So it means Yetzirah, I think his main point is, there's something opposing it, as opposed to you know, it's not being gnachis to explain anything about what the Yetzer is, as much as the reason why this is natural to us, even though we have a natural sense of toiv, is because we have an ikuv. We've got a hurdle to overcome. It's one of the mistakes that people make. I'm going off tangent a bit, but when you have a little kid, a sweet little kid who's adjusted, and he's being mechunach, they're like little angels. They do what's right, and they sing beautifully, and they daven with great kavana, and everything's wonderful. They become teenagers, becomes a struggle. So people say, what happened to all that wonderful ruchnis they had? The answer is, nothing of that, but they all of a sudden got a massive amount of yitzharas. Whether you're talking about physical taiva, whether you're talking about an emotional need to be free of being told what to do, an emotional need to prove themselves, a lack of confidence because their body is changing, they look kind of weird. Whatever it is, the problem is not they're no longer ruchnis. The problem is they've never had a serious yetzer hara before, now they have it. And the point is that teenager can be very returned onto it, but it's not going to happen because his Yetzer disappears. Yetzer first introduces himself at that age, you know, in the way we understand. Even though Chazal say the Yetzer Tov comes, but that's a different shmuz. But in Tachlis and Chinuch, it's as a teenager, it's a whole new set of feelings that he's never had before. The desire, a good child from a happy home wants to be admired and praised by his parents. A good, healthy teenager wants to strike out on his own and become the Gadol HaDor on his own. And sort of, basically in his biography should say, even though my parents were simple people, I'm a Gadol HaDor. That's the good Yetzirah for a teenager. Won't go into the bad Yetzirah of what he wants to do. It's understand that the fact that a person may be not performing or rebelling or something isn't coming against, it's a lot of times, it's interesting. I'll sit down with a bacha to speak, a bacha's not learning. And you start arguing, the hours are too long, the hours too short, this is not good. A lot of times, at a certain point, I'll tell them, okay, I would like you to run your life. I think you're old enough, mature enough, and I'm good with it. Tell me what you feel a day of accomplishment is. I said, you certainly wouldn't want to share with your children what your day looks like today. You wouldn't want to tell them, yeah, I was in yeshiva for 365 days, and a liberal estimate would be like a day and a half I learned. So tell me, I'm willing, I'm an open person, I'm reasonable. You tell me what storm you'd be happy with, storm that challenge you but are doable. Very few people will come up, so they'll shave a 10 minutes off here, half hour off there. Most people, they're not off, they're not saying, well, I really would have to play basketball 24/7. So my answer to that would be, so go to basketball camp. I don't have a problem with it. Just don't tell yourself you're in yeshiva when that's what you want to do. But most, 99% of kids will give you a schedule, that's okay. So they'll, it's not that